Hey everyone, this is Victor from The Remote Lifestyle, and today I am doing my remote update for March 2017. This is actually the third month that I've been traveling this year, and my second month is part of the remote trip program. And for those of you who don't know, the remote trip is a community of digital nomads, and we travel to six different countries in 6 months. And like I said, this month we are in Taipei, Taiwan, which is a special place to me because that is my hometown. I lived here until the age of 7 before I moved to Hong Kong with my family. And I was actually here back in January, but that was more like a family visit. So it was a very different dynamic. And for me, this month I felt was very, very interesting because I was juggling a lot on my plate. On one hand, I was trying to be a participant on the remote trip program and to just enjoy, you know, having all the logistics planned out for me. But on the other hand, I actually helped coordinate a lot of the activities we were doing here this month. I found the accommodation we were staying at, the co-working space, gym, you know, everything was organized by me back in January. And this was also the first time that I was in Taiwan with a bunch of foreigners. And so that was a very different experience being the local guide and having people rely on me to translate for things, because I had never really realized how difficult it was to be a foreigner and a tourist in Taiwan if you don't speak the local language. And on the other hand, I haven't even talked about doing work-related things like my web agency work for Tandem and my remote lifestyle duties, including, you know, vlogging all the things we did every day and also continuing to podcast. And on top of all of that, I also had to juggle family things. If you guys know anything about, you know, Chinese or Taiwanese culture, it's all about family time. It's all about having meals with family members. So there were a lot of things that happened this month, and it was definitely a very much heads down work month, because if I wasn't diligent, I just wouldn't be able to get anything done. Now, having said that, I did do quite a lot of social things, including doing a lot of the remote trip activities that I'm going to get into a bit later, and also, you know, getting to hang out with some of my local friends here. I actually only have one local friend earlier this month, and she is my god sister, and we've known each other since birth. And this was the first time I stayed in Taiwan for a long enough period of time so that I actually had the opportunity to meet her friends and to hang out with people around my age from Taiwan. And that was an incredibly eye-opening experience because it was like a culture that's almost foreign to me, even though, you know, this was my hometown. And it's not like I moved at the age of 7 to the United States. I was an hour away in Hong Kong. But just that alone, in addition to the fact that I went to an international school, really changed who I ended up becoming growing up. But anyways, let's see. This month was also quite successful for me from a morning routine standpoint. I talked about last month how I wanted to meditate every morning, go to the gym, and, you know, I'm pretty happy to say that I've been meditating at least 2 out of the 3 days every day this month. And I've also been going to the gym around 5 to 6 times a week. So it's been really good from a morning routine standpoint. And I really enjoyed living in Taiwan by myself. This is the first time I've lived in Taipei and wasn't living in a relative's home. And I think that really changed my experience. I love the autonomy of being able to just be on my own schedule, take the bus to my grandma's house, or like to go on the subway to meet other people. Usually it's never really like that for me. So I felt that the opportunity to be an adult in my hometown was a very, very enlightening and eye-opening experience. So on to some of the fun things we did this month. So first thing we did as a group was we did karaoke, and actually I'm getting my timing this messed up, but we did karaoke as a group, and it was really, really interesting seeing everyone else on the program. Like, just so to give you some context, right? In Taiwan, when you do karaoke, you're talking about your own private room with like a two display monitors that are touchscreen, and you can choose the songs you want to sing on those touchscreens. And then you have a disco ball, you have like wire microphones, and you have like this very fancy microphone stand in the front. You know, the kind that's not like a microphone, but it's like a little it's like a rectangular thing with like, you know, black rectangles on it. I don't really know how you describe it, but it's one of those fancy microphones. And as you're singing, you have the music videos displayed on the screen, and there's lyrics, and they highlight whenever it's whatever word's being sung. So compare that to in Western countries where karaoke is just, you know, at a bar and you have like a karaoke machine and it's very, very informal. This is like the whole opposite end of the spectrum, and you can order food, drinks in your booth. It's like a very luxurious experience. So it was just really funny seeing people's first reactions, because I don't think anyone really knew what to expect. Like last month, we also did a cooking class in Taiwan, and that was really fun because I'm much more of an eater than a cooker. And in the past few years, I've started cooking more and more, but I've cooked more, you know, Western food as opposed to Chinese food, because, you know, it's so much easier to get the groceries you need to make like American or European food as opposed to go all the way to like a Chinese market and get a bunch of different ingredients. So that was really cool as well. And then just last week, we did a tour of Northern Taiwan. We booked a car and we went all around Northern Taiwan. That was really fun. The only downside was that it was raining so hard that day. And in Taiwan, you have these really cheap plastic raincoats you can get for like a dollar. And, you know, we were all like, oh, we don't need to wear that. We can just have an umbrella. And thank God the driver had extra raincoats in his car, because it was so rainy that I couldn't film with my Canon G7 PowerShot, because the rain was basically like horizontal at times, and I didn't pack my GoPro, so I had to like film with my iPhone most of that day and hope that, you know, my iPhone doesn't break. So it was crazy, but I'm really excited to share those vlogs with you. I've been kind of lazy with vlogging because I've been so busy this month, but those vlogs will be up, and they're going to be a lot of fun for those of you who've never been to Taiwan, because it's really not a popular destination for digital nomads, but at the same time, people who really take the time to come here and to understand the culture end up staying for quite a long time. So hopefully the vlogs can give you some insight. Whew, okay, so I should have prefaced this earlier, because this is really the meat of what I want to talk about today. And what's really been on my mind lately. But, you know, for those of you who are still listening, really appreciate it. And what I wanted to share is that this is the first month where I really started having doubts about the digital nomad lifestyle and what it really means to me. And the first instance I noticed this was when I kind of got the feeling that the remote lifestyle brand no longer really reflected who I was as a person. And to give you some context, when I decided to start the remote lifestyle, I did something really fucking stupid, and that was I took all my social media handles, and my first and last name is Victor Kung, right? And so I had all the social media handles for @VictorKung, so I was like on point with my social and personal brand. But what I ended up doing was I changed all of my accounts from @VictorKung to @RemoteLifestyle. So, because I was like, you know what? Nobody cares about my name. I need to represent a brand. And the brand I want to represent me as a person turned out to be the remote lifestyle, right? So, this month I started realizing that living a remote lifestyle, digital nomad lifestyle, was just a small part of my life. And it didn't really encompass, you know, who I was completely as a person. It's just one facet of my life. And so, like, to go even deeper, right? I want to be known for something. I want to be good at certain skills. I want to be an influencer. And I want to have a career. But something like the remote lifestyle just doesn't it'll always at most be something that's like a side project, like something that's a part of my life, not who I am as a person. So this realization made me decide to separate my personal brand from the remote lifestyle. So I tried looking for the @VictorKung social media handles, but it was all taken at this point. So I was really fucking pissed off. And so at that point I was like, okay, what do I call myself? So I first came up with VictorKung Official, which is really douchey, but I think it sounds cool. But Twitter and Instagram, they don't let you have that many characters in your handle. So I eventually switched to @RealVictorKung. And for my personal brand, this gets the next part, right? This month, I also decided to redo my entire business model for my agency. I decided to no longer focus on just doing web projects. And the reason for that is because for me, web projects are so boring. Like, all I'm doing is people reaching out to me, and then we design a website and we build it out for them. And that's that, right? Our whole pitch is like, you know, we're going to build a website that better communicates who you are to your clients, and it's going to help you get more business. But if you're just working on the website aspect, you don't have control over any of the other things. Like, all I'm doing is like, it's like designing something pretty and just handing it to someone else. I don't feel like we're having an impact on the businesses that we work with, and that really frustrates me, because on one hand, this is just a transactional business, right? And it's kind of empty in that sense, because there's no real, you can't really measure the impact being made. And on the other hand, from a business model standpoint, it's like a really shitty business model, because you're just relying on a sheer sales. You know, you get paid per website that you do. And as a business, you really want to build recurring revenue. And I first started exploring this with a few client projects in which we did online marketing, and we said, hey, look, we're going to do your online marketing for you, help you reach out to more clients and convert them into paying customers. And in exchange, we're going to do a monthly retainer model where you pay us a flat fee per month plus commissions for how many sales we get you. And as time went by, that seemed to be the model that makes the most sense, because once you do this, you have not only recurring revenue through a flat fee, you also have performance-based compensation. And so you not only get recurring revenue, you also get an unlimited earnings cap based on how you perform. And I think that type of business model really appeals to me. And more than anything, I'm realizing that everything I'm doing with the web agency for my clients and for myself, building my personal brand, falls under the umbrella of online marketing. And that's what's interesting me so much. And here's the kicker, and I'm really stupid for not, you know, mentioning this earlier, because I'm sure everyone will be like very interested in what I have to say next. And I don't really even know how to say it. So first of all, I released a video in the beginning of this month called Shit Digital Nomads Say. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but basically it's based off of like Shit Boyfriends Say, Shit Girlfriends Say. So that went viral a few years ago. And that video went viral within the digital nomad community online, getting over 20,000 views in just a few days. And I was like, holy shit. Like, through that video alone, I got like 100 YouTube subscribers. I got like over 1,000 people liking me on Facebook. And it made me realize that, and it validated the fact that people want content that they can connect with on an emotional level, that can make them laugh, that they want to share with their friends. And so I was like pretty happy about 20,000. It's starting to make me like reconsider everything that I was doing. But then last week, one of my really talented friends called Ollie B, he's a musician and he's based in Vegas, and I've been like advising him from afar for the past year on his YouTube and Facebook video content. So he released a video called Nerdy Uber Driver Surprises Passengers with His Talent. And at first it was a YouTube video, and then me and a buddy of mine, we were like, hey, you know, you should really share this video on Facebook, like not just through a YouTube link, but to actually publish the video as a Facebook video and optimize it for Facebook. And so we give him some pointers and he puts it up. And within a week, this video got 45 million views on Facebook. He grew his Facebook page from like less than 100 likes to over 200,000 likes. He grew his YouTube from 100 to 20,000 subscribers in a week. And keep in mind, he's been creating these videos for like almost a year. And he's no chump too. He's had videos that I've gotten like 15,000 views on YouTube, and he had only 100 subscribers up to that point. So this is, you know, mind-blowing to me, because it's making me reconsider everything that I'm doing. I'm a very process-oriented person. This is probably... I'm sorry about the drilling. There's someone drilling outside my window. But in any case, this changed how I thought about everything, because I'm a very process-oriented person, and I've been, you know, releasing podcast episodes for like the past 6 months. I've been releasing blog posts for almost 2 years, and just one viral piece of content helped put my friend on the map and did more than everything I've been doing has done for me from a growth perspective. Like, I could continue doing what I'm doing with the podcast and the blog for the next 10 years, and I wouldn't hope to see this much growth as my friend. And it goes back to the 80-20 rule. Like, are the things that I'm doing right now really making an impact? And if I'm really being honest with myself, I have to say no. There's something wrong with what I've been doing so far. And I know that I've been having an impact on people because people have been reaching out to me. But I just feel like I could be doing such a better job. And this is making me question a lot of the ways that I approach things. And this ties into online marketing, because online marketing, or in recent years they call it growth hacking, it's all about how can you scale at an unprecedented, ridiculous hockey stick rate in a short period of time. And that's really what I'm interested to dive into, so that I can do it for my clients and I can also do it for myself. So I'm really excited to go to Bali this Friday, and that's the destination we're going to next for the remote trip, because I really need to be away from everything. I need to do some soul searching and to think about what my next steps are, because I need to change direction. There's clearly a problem with how I've been doing everything so far, and based on what I was able to do with the Shit Digital Nomad Say video and also my friend Ollie's video, I think that there's a way for me to scale much quicker and to have an impact on other people that way. And I'm proud of the content I put out so far, and I think my weekly content is great for keeping my existing followers engaged, informed, and happy, but I need a way to reach out to more people. And I think that from everything I've seen, the future is with video content on Facebook and YouTube. Probably video content that's released on Facebook that has high viral potential, high shareability potential, and then porting that attention from Facebook into subscribers on YouTube. And then on YouTube, that's where people engage with you on a deeper level. They look at your weekly video content, and you can funnel them from YouTube then to your website. That seems to be the best way to do it. And you know, right now, there aren't a lot of digital nomads in the space who are doing a good job of this viral growth. And certainly travel vloggers are doing a better job of it. But I think everyone's just scratching the surface. So if I'm able to crack that code, I think the sky is the limit. And that's really how I think digital nomad content creators can grow the quickest and to have the biggest impact. But a lot of people aren't doing this. A lot of videos I'm seeing are just talking head vlogs. I guess that's calling the kettle black, because a lot of my vlogs are like that. But I would like to think that my vlogs are a little bit more engaging and personable. But a lot of people are also doing straight up interviews on YouTube. there's no indication that people want to stick around and watch an hour-long interview on YouTube. Video content should be engaging, fun, shareable. So that's where a lot of people are missing the mark. And you can save the interviews for like podcasting, like what I'm doing right now, or for blog posts. But people really need to start creating content with their audience in mind. And that's going to be a big focus for me as I move forward. I'm going to spend a lot less attention on things that aren't giving me a high return on investment. For example, writing text articles on text blogs. I'm not going to do that anymore. And for the podcast, I have a pretty healthy backlog. I have episodes scheduled until June, so I can just take the foot off the pedal for podcasts and focus completely on video for the remote lifestyle. And other than that, I'm going to be really focusing on the business model for my my web agency Tandem and trying to pivot. But one of the frustrations that I'm having that I can't believe I haven't shared until like 20 minutes into this is that I'm starting to feel a little bit restless, like I have to be back in Chicago because I need to pick up new clients. And since I'm in a new space and redoing the business model, it's almost impossible for me to pick up online marketing clients while I'm in Asia right now. It's certainly not when I'm halfway across the world. So that's also been on my mind, the idea that it seems like right now I'm just passing time overseas and not being able to work to my fullest potential. So I don't want to get too much down that rabbit hole because I'm still very much focused on figuring out what it is that I need to be doing. So I'll have more updates on that. The good thing is that I'm only going to be in Bali for until April 23rd. I'm actually going back to Chicago en route to Panama, where I'll be all of May. So I'm going to be in Chicago for a week, and hopefully that'll give me an opportunity to get a taste of home again, and also to figure out some foundational things with the business. But a lot of self-reflection to be done. And, you know, having said that I'm restless and eager to go back to Chicago, I wouldn't have had these breakthrough experiences had I not started traveling with the remote trip. So on one hand, it's good to know what I want now, but on the other hand, it's important to also take a step back, look at what I've accomplished in the last few months, and to understand that I'm still moving forward right now, even though it might seem like a step back. So I will end this month's update right there. And I wanted to give you a big thank you for listening and also for supporting me and following the podcast. I really do hope that you're getting a lot of value out of it and through the stories that I'm sharing. I know that every single time I talk to one of my guests, I come away completely energized and in a great state of mind because there are talented and smart and passionate individuals everywhere. And being able to sit down one-on-one, have them share so much of themselves and their stories is really exhilarating, even though sometimes my voice can be a little bit monotone. So if you're still listening up to now, I have one request to ask for you, and that is to leave a comment in the show notes for this episode, and it's going to be theremotelifestyle.com/March-2017. And just let me know what you want to hear more of on the podcast. I'm getting to the point on the podcast where I feel like I've showcased enough stories, and I kind of want to pivot the podcast towards more actionable steps. But obviously, this is all guesswork from my part. Let me know what you think in the comments section, and I will be happy to deliver. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you had a successful month. Talk to you next month.